a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's worship this Savior of ours.
Well, good morning, and I'm so glad to see you here on this cold, wet fall morning. What a joy to see such bright and shiny faces this morning, and we're so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. David is out sick this morning, and so I am filling in for David this morning, so I am not David this morning. But we're I got a few announcements that I just want to highlight in your bulletin. First, you see this little white sheet that's in your bulletin. This is the poinsettia order form. We have to do this a little bit early this year because we're having to use a different vendor. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. And they need the orders in early. And so next Sunday, by next Monday, the 28th, we need to know if you want to get a poinsettia in honor of somebody or in memory of somebody. So if you can drop this in the offering plate next Sunday, or if you forget next Sunday, just call Janice and say, hey, this is what I need. So next Sunday or next Monday, please let the church office, Janice, know if you would like to place one in memory or honor of someone. Also, in a few minutes, Janie's going to come up and tell you a little bit about a Bible study. We're going to start next Sunday, so I won't say any more about that. We'll let her tell you more about that. Today, a lot happening this afternoon. 4 o'clock is church canceled. Those who are head of ministry teams, 4 o'clock, church canceled. And then we'll have a fellowship meal at 5. Stacia's already got all the goodies together. We're having sandwiches. I'm not sure what kind, but some sandwiches, a fruit tray, a vegetable tray, and of course, desserts. Always have to have desserts at Baptist Church. And then after we eat, we're having the Elon Roundtable. And I think there's several things to come up. I don't know all that stuff, but from what I hear, there's several things to come up before the roundtable. So you want to be here for that at 5:30. But come eat first, and then do that. And a Monday, this coming Monday, we don't do a lot with the Mount Zion Association anymore, but Monday, this coming Monday, is Mount Zion will be in existence 150 years tomorrow. And they're having a big 150th celebration tomorrow night over at Grove Park Baptist Church. So if you're not doing anything at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, come over to Grove Park and celebrate with them. We got several members from our choir that's going to be singing in the mass choir there. And so it's about 50 or 60, I think, isn't it, Barry? Where's Barry? Over here. And Bill. So we got about 50 or 60 that are singing in over there and singing several songs. So if you're not busy at 7 o'clock, come on over and worship with us over at Grove Park. And then next Sunday, the children, we're going to Harvest Ridge Farm and have a good time at the Fall Festival there. And out in the foyer, you have new church directories. If you haven't picked one up, those are available. And then next Monday, the 28th, senior adults are traveling to Shatley Springs and to eat. At 7 o'clock, we're meeting at the church. So, and then they're going to Boone to shop. And you don't have to be a senior adult to do that. It can be anybody in the church. I'm going because I've never been, and so I'm looking forward to that. And let's see, anything else? I think that's all I have highlighted here. Okay. Yes.
At 3:30 this afternoon,
the VLT team is meeting at 3:30. So if you're a part of that, 3:30 this afternoon. Okay, trustees are meeting with them and the BRIC committee, or whatever that thing is called. Something.
That's good. You got it.
The BRIC committee. Those are the stones out there. So, all right, Norman, your turn.
All
right. Oh, let me say one more thing before he gets up there. I like being in charge. I don't get to do this much. I want to say it before he says it. Norman has his 4 out here.
Thank you. I remember taking a group to Shatley Springs, 25 years ago? I weighed 130 pounds when I went. When I left, I weighed 230. So that's pretty good eating. But I'm not going. Our opening scripture this morning is Matthew's Gospel. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, "The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house." And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to gather around our Lord's table. May we be strongly reminded of his life, his death, and his resurrection, and the difference he has made in our lives. Lord, we ask your blessing on our worship this hour, that what we say and do may bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Our hymn of praise this morning is the communion hymn, "Behold the Lamb." Let's stand and let's worship together.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. As we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this prayer. See the life of God. And so we thankfulness and faith we run to respond. And so remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body.
You may be seated.
Do you have any heroes or sheroes? And if you do, what might be the characteristic of these people? What makes them heroes in your eyes? Do you know the Bible has heroes? And we're going to have an opportunity to study some of those heroes in the next 5 Sunday afternoons. I wanted to give you a hint because I wanted to read 2 verses of scripture to you. This comes from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it, our ancestors won God's approval. The title of the study is The Faithful. So one characteristic we know of these heroes was that this person was faithful to God. What we don't know were the circumstances that surrounded their faithfulness, and that's what we're going to look at. So we hope that we can apply what we learn to make us more faithful, and perhaps somebody will at one time declare us as a hero or a shero. Come and join us. We'll be here at 4 o'clock. It will be about an hour. Books will be available,
$10. $10, and they're available today.
A couple of people have already picked those up. It is helpful if you follow along. We will have a short video and then a really good discussion. So I hope to see many, many of you here when we try to study God's Word and apply it to our lives.
Our offertory hymn this morning is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let's stand in worship.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he shall give it. Make a wretched treasure.
Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for everything that you have blessed us with. We're so grateful for your strength, your leadership, your guidance, and your love. Help us to remember you and return to you the things that you have blessed us with. In your name we ask it. Amen.
May be seated.
Come just as you are.
good to study the heroes of the faith, and I'm glad you put it that way, Janie, wherever you are. Oh, there you are. But you know, they're not just found in Scripture, they're found all over the place. And one of my heroes in the faith died suddenly, unexpectedly on Friday. My closest friend from seminary. And if I have a hard time this morning, I can see his fat little face right now. Some of you may remember him. He preached revival here. His name was Max Hill, little hillbilly from West Virginia. But as far as I'm concerned, he was one of the giants in the faith. He taught me to love missions. He's the one that conned me into going to Haiti with him. And from there, other things that I've been able to do. And he just recently helped our pastor search committee by sending a bunch of stuff to help us. And his family had had a rough year. He tore out his ACL, and he was just getting through rehab. His daughter had a massive heart attack and had 5 bypasses. She got over that, and then 2 weeks ago, she had a brain tumor removed, and she was doing well and just coming out of the hospital, and he went home to check on the house, and they found him in the floor. So he's gone on to glory, and I'll see him one day. His name is Max. Remember his wife Debbie and the daughter Melinda in your prayers. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for those influences that come along in our life to make us better people. And we pray as we learn and study and pray and grow in our faith that we will be an influence in the life of somebody else. We thank you for this time of worship, a time of fellowship around the table, a time of giving thanks for the gift of your Son who makes all things new. And so may we hear the whisper of your Holy Spirit this hour as we look again at a portion of your Scripture, and then as we celebrate around the table, ever mindful that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And we thank you in his name and for his sake. Amen. One more time in Acts chapter 10. Only a couple more to go. I know y'all be glad to get out of Acts. It's a lot of good stuff in Acts. Beginning in verse 9, chapter 10. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And this happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. And they called out, asking if Simon, who is known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about that vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." And Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. "Why have you come?" And the men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." And then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The word of God for the people of God. Are you someone who is open to new ideas? Open to new experiences? Are you someone open to change, that nasty word? According to research, the answer usually depends on your age. You ever wonder why you have certain tastes in music? Robert Sapolsky, who is a professor of neurology at Stanford University, wondered the same thing. Why do people have certain tastes in music? And so he decided to do a study. And his research led him to conclude that there is a music window of adventure from age 14 to 21. And after that, our musical preferences begin to narrow down until about age 35, when that window of musical adventure closes. That's simply to say that after age 35, most of us are pretty much stuck listening to the same music over and over and over. And that's why my radio dial in my car is stuck to the 60s, the 70s, and the Beatles channel. Today's nursing home residents listen to Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, and then it'll be Elvis and the Beatles and the Stones and Bob Dylan. And after that comes Taylor Swift and Lady Gaga and Snoop Dogg. And Lord knows what's coming down the road after that. I hear names of performers today, and I say, I ain't never heard of them and don't want to hear of them because I'm stuck in the 60s all over again. Thank the Lord. Best music ever. Sapolsky, Dr. Sapolsky, also discovered a similar phenomenon dealing with food. Do you realize that 95% of us will not try any new food after the age of 39? And it's not just for humans. Baboons are the same way. When baboons are relocated from one part of the jungle to another, it is the young baboons who are willing to try different tree leaves to eat, and the old ones only want to eat what they've always eaten from the old part of the jungle where they had lived. Maybe this research of Sapolsky will help us to understand the trauma that came to Simon Peter when he was in his mid-30s and God had offered him a new menu to try. Even when God himself is the cook, it isn't easy to open our mind or our mouth to new things. So let's pick up the story from Acts 10 that we were on about 2 weeks ago. You remember that Cornelius was a centurion attached to the Roman Italian regiment stationed in the seaport town of Caesarea. He was a pagan searching for God in the Jewish religion. He was a good man who prayed to the God of the Jews, and he gave generously to support Jewish charities. And God sent an angel in a vision to point Cornelius to Simon Peter, who could tell him about Jesus. Remember, Peter was south in Joppa, so Cornelius followed the directions from the angel and sent three men to find Peter and to invite Peter to come to his house. Seemed like an unlikely plan, because Jews were Jews and Gentiles were Gentiles, and they usually had little to do with each other. But God was the divine matchmaker here, bringing the unlikely together. God used prayers, and God used visions and angels and pagans and Jews to jump the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of its Jewish confines and over into the majority Gentile world. The angel talked to Cornelius at 3 p.m., and 21 hours later, Peter's stomach began to grumble, and he was ready for a good kosher meal at noon. He was on the rooftop praying. And as he waited for his food to be prepared, he had a daymare. A daymare is a nightmare during the day. But he had a daymare while he was praying. And the scripture says he saw heaven opened and something like a sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contains all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean in my entire life." And the voice spoke to him again in his trance, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and the sheet was drawn back up to heaven. It was indeed a daymare for Peter. You see, he was an Orthodox Jew who ate a kosher diet every day of his life. There's no way he was going to change that. What he ate and what he refused to eat was at the core of his culture and also an expression of his faith. Jews were God's people. They were holy. They were different, and that included diet. They followed the dietary rules of Leviticus chapter 11. This was one of the ways to be Jewish and one of the ways to be faithful to God. Peter must have awakened from his trance ready to vomit. He emphatically insisted, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean or impure." Even after a supernatural vision, Peter had to think about all of this. And scripture says, while he was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. And they called out, asking if Simon, who is known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was thinking about this vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I sent them." What was Peter wondering anyway? What was he thinking about this vision that he had had, his daymare? It's really not hard to guess what he was thinking. He's thinking, "I can't do this. This is contrary to everything I've ever done in my life, contrary to everything that I was taught as a faithful Jew. I've never done anything like this before. What if my Jewish friends find out? What will my mother think? If I eat this, I think I'm getting sick." Isn't this disobedient to the law of God? Isn't it a step down a slippery slope that will lead me to disobey the other laws of God, like idolatry and adultery and lying and stealing and so forth and so on. Today it may be a bite of pork, and tomorrow it might be sacrificing a pig in a pagan temple. That's what he was thinking. And it's not hard to understand that's what he was thinking, because devout, orthodox, conservative believers like you and me often struggle with the same questions. Yet for Peter, the ultimate question was what God wanted and not what he thought. You see, God was going to do something new and different. God was going to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who were different from them. And that was not going to be easy for Peter to do, just like it's not easy for us to do. But if Jesus was willing to come down from heaven, of all places, and be on the earth, then Peter had to step out of his comfort zone and to reach out to others with the message of salvation in Christ Jesus. With his stomach in a knot, Peter reluctantly went down the stairs to answer the knock at the gate. Gentile pagans had come to him to learn about Jesus. They knew that Jews like Peter didn't like them. They knew that they were not allowed to enter a Jewish home, and so they were careful to stay outside of that gate, not so they would not offend the owner. Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" And they said, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion, and he is a righteous man and a God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. And an holy angel appeared to him and told him to send us to your house so that we could invite you to his house so he can listen to what you have to say." And then Peter invited the men, a giant step for a Jew. He invited the men into the house as his guests. And Scripture says the next day, Peter started out with them, and even some of the brothers from Joppa went along. It was one of the hardest things Simon Peter ever had done in his entire life. He swung the gate open and invited uncircumcised, pork-eating, pagan Gentiles into his house. And at that very moment, he thrilled the heart of God. Peter opened the gate and invited them in, and the men stayed overnight. They ate the evening meal and the morning meal together. And the walls of prejudice and race and religion and animosity began to crumble in those moments. The gospel of Jesus Christ was crossing the divide out of Judaism and into the whole world. The church of Jesus Christ was going beyond one little region, one group, and one tradition to become the faith to eternally transform people of every tribe and every nation and every language. And this same Jesus yearns for our generation to be saved from sin and into eternal life. Our cultural issues may not be the same as eating meat as it was for Peter, but we have barriers just like Peter faced. Barriers of generational differences, of race, of types of music we listen to, or what we wear, or political parties, and more and more and more. We have barriers between us and other people. And they are important to us, just like Peter's kosher traditions were important to him. But reaching people for Jesus is far more important than anything else in your life. So, are we willing to go places, to meet people, to give money, to eat strange foods, and go beyond our preferences and outside of our comfort zones for Jesus and for those whom Jesus loves, which is everybody? I can tell you, on some of those mission trips I went on, I ate some strange food. And it was worth every bite. So I invite you to pray and to give and to learn and to share and to go and to do in the name of Jesus. Let's open up our minds and our mouths to share the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. That's our mission in the world. The question for us believers is not what we think or what we feel. Rather, what does God want of us, for us, and from us? Let's pray. Father, help us to be open as Peter was, even though he was shocked and he struggled with that, but help us to follow his example when Cornelius comes into our life. Help us to be faithful that someone down the road will call us a hero of the faith. Help us to be united in that faith and grow together as this church seeks to impact this community for the Lord. Forgive us for our failings. Encourage us to keep going no matter what in the days ahead. And we ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus now bids you come to his table today to remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. And I invite you and encourage you to use this time as a time of renewal of your faith and your commitment to serving him in this church in the days ahead.
Scripture says
that on the night that he was betrayed, during that Passover meal, sharing with his disciples, he took the bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it, and he shared it with his disciples. And he told them, "This is my body, broken for you." Father, may we be mindful of the broken body of our Lord and why he did it as we remember him around his table this day. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Scripture says, likewise, during that meal, he took the cup and poured it. After he had blessed it, and he passed it among his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you. Jesus also said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We are told that after the meal, they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Would you stand with me and we'll sing one verse of Blessed Be the Tithe. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.